Okay, so we continue on with the Mishnah, Daf Chafchet of an Aleph, at the bottom of the Amud. And this section, the Mishnah and the attendant Gemara that we'll study today, comprise the conclusion of the first half of this Perek, which deal with the status of a Beit Knesset. Continuing on from the issues of selling a Beit Knesset, etc., the Yoram Rabbi Yehuda, Beit Knesset Shecharev, if a Beit Knesset has become a ruin, Ein maspidin metocho. You still may not have eulogies there. We'll see what kind of eulogies we're talking about. Ve'en mafshidin metocho chavalim. You can't store ropes there. Ve'en porsin metocho mitzvot. You can't put traps there. Ve'en shotchin agogo perot. You can't use the roof to lay out fruit, to dry it out. Ve'en osin metocho pandar. You can't use it as a shortcut. What's the principle behind all of this? Shinemar, the pasuk says in Vayikra, Hashimoti et mikdashechem. God promises he will destroy our holy places. It's part of the curse, of course. Why does it describe it that way? Kedushatan af k'shen shomim. They are still sanctified even though they are destroyed. And what the final case dealt with is aluvo asavim lo yitlosh b'nei agmat ha-nefesh. If grass grows around the ruined synagogue, then you cannot cut it off due to agmat nefesh. And here we have machlok rishonim, whether agmat nefesh means, take a look at Rashi, v'nichim al asavim kedesh te agmat nefesh the ro'en. In other words, people will see the grass growing and they'll be very sad and they will pray to Hashem to restore them, etc. But not all Rishonim saw it that way. And there are other approaches to the issue of Agmat Nefesh. So the Brayta immediately describes the proper behavior for a regular Beit Knesset, which will then take us back to the Mishnah. You don't behave silly there. You're not allowed to eat or drink in a Beit Knesset. You're not allowed to get benefit there. In other words, to use the place to dress up or whatever. You're not allowed to go and hang out there, as it were. You're not allowed to use it as shelter during the summer from the sun or during the winter from the rain. You're not allowed to use a shul to have a hesped shel yachid. We'll see what a small or a singular hesped is, a eulogy. You're allowed to learn there. You're allowed to learn mishnayot there. You're allowed to have a public eulogy. We'll see what a hesped shel rabim is. Yehuda says, this is only when the synagogues are working and are operative. But when they are destroyed, we leave them, we don't do anything in there, we let grass grow around them, and we don't cut down the grass in order to create and increase the pain that we have over what's happened. Now, asavim mandachar shmayo, how did grass get into this braita? So the answer is chasor mechser vachitani. There's something missing, and it says as follows. The rest of the brayta said, umchabdinotan, we sweep out the shul, umarbitzinotan, and you sprinkle with water, kedeshaliyo b'hen asavim, or sprinkle it with ashes or something, so that the grass doesn't grow there. Yehuda imatai b'yishuvan, that's only when, so now Rabbi Yehuda pipes in and says, that's only when they are operative, of Abba Churbanan, when they are destroyed, manichinotol ma'lot, we allow these things to grow, and if they grow, we don't cut them down to increase the agmat nefesh. I'm going to be asking, but taken as yol shem bavel al tnai he nasuyin. She said that any Beit Knesset built in Bavel was built al tnai, which means that really you could use it for anything. It doesn't have kedusha Beit Knesset. It was built on condition for other uses. Nonetheless, we don't behave silly there. Mind you, what does that mean? Cheshbonot. In other words, to go and sit in the shul and then do your own tax papers or something. Ravasi's statement here sounds like a halachic formula. Any Beit Knesset in which we calculate is also a place where you leave a mate. What does it mean? You have to leave a mate? What it means is it's a curse. Any shul that's abused in such a way that people use it to sit and make their own calculations, ultimately is going to have a mate mitzvah lying there. Now, v'ein noyotin b'hem, the Brayta said, the top of the Amud, that you can't benefit in the shul. Amarava chachamim tamideim mutarim. This is not true about chachamim and their students. Shuvan levi, my beirabanan. Why is a shul called beirabanan? Beit HaRabbanan, it's their house. Because they're there all the time and they're always studying, they're able to eat there and drink there, etc. You're not allowed to enter a shul during the summer to get shade, or in the winter to get relief from the rain.
So
two students were asking Rav a question. Ata zilcha demitra, it started raining. Aili leveichnishta, they went into the shul. Amri haida alina leveichnishta, and so they explained their behavior as follows. Our going into the shul, la mishumitra, is not to escape the rain. Shumishmaita by tziluta kiyoma di istana. But rather because to study you need a clarity. Which means really they were escaping the rain, but not to, for their personal comfort, but because in order to properly study, they needed to avoid the distraction. It's an interesting halachic question. You're not allowed to use a shul. You're not allowed to go into a shul just to go in. You're not allowed to use it as a shortcut. So what happens if there's somebody in the shul and you need to call them? How do you go in? What do you do? If you're a Talmud Chacham, you go in and say a halacha and then get the guy. Vitanahu, if you're a Tana, lema, so repeat a Mishnah. Vikarahu, if you're a Baal Mikra, a Tanakh person, lema psuka, say a pasuk. This is the poskim quote, that if you have to go into a shul for some purpose to retrieve something, at least sit down for a second and say a pasuk. Vilo, lema leili yanuka, emale psukacha. If not, then ask a kid to repeat his psukim that he studied that day. If you can't do any of that, then, or another option is to sit down for a minute and then get up. Good. In other words, you're not just walking in to get somebody or get something and leave. What is a public hesped that you're allowed to do at a shul? What is that? Rav Chista pointed and go hesped at a kaiber of Sheshit. A hesped that Rav Sheshit attends. That's public enough. Rav Sheshit go hesped at a kaiber of Chista. So Rav Sheshit then pointed back and said, a hesped that Rav Chista attends. That's public. Good. Rafram Aspid al Chalate Bebechanishta. Rafram, who was an Amora, have a hesped for his daughter-in-law in the Beit Knesset. Amar, so how could he excuse this? Mishum yikara didi udemita atu chuli alma. Everybody is coming not only in honor of the girl, but also in honor of me. I'm a well-known Talmud Chacham. And therefore, this is called hesped shel Rabbim. Rabbi Zera safte the umar abonar Beit Knesset. Rabbi Zera eulogized one of the students in the Beit Knesset. Amar, imishum yikara didi, imishum yikara didi. Demita atukuliyama. They're either coming for me or for him. Either way, it's justified. There's a story here about Rish Lakish, who eulogized a particular Talmud, Shchiach Bar Yisrael, who was found in Eretz Yisrael, and he died there. He studied in the 24th row. In other words, he was not one of the great Talmud Chachamim. Marvai Chasar Di Yisrael Gavaraba. And what did he say about him? Ooh, Eretz Yisrael is missing such a great man. So that was Rish Lakish, who was one of the tough guys in Eretz Yisrael, said such a nice thing about somebody who was a relative lightweight. And now there was a particular person, and this is going to be in Bavel, who taught Hilchata and Sifra and Sifri and Tosefta, basically was a master of Tanaitic literature. Shachi, they told to Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman, of course, was one of the Gedolim in Bavel, said, you give the Hespid, Amar, Hechin Hespid, what should I say? Hey, Tzana de Mali Sifra de Chaser, the basket full of Sfarim is gone. In other words, he said, this guy is somebody who just mastered other people's material. He didn't have to say anything innovative. And he had very little regard for it. So now the Gemara comments, Toch Chazi ma ben takifin Ar Yisrael la Chazine de Bavel. Look at how different the tough guys in Eretz Yisrael, Rish Lakish, who was no slouch, and who was a relatively tough guy. Nonetheless, look how nice he was compared to the Chasidim of Bavel, Tahani Rav Nachman. Tananatam, we have a Mishnah, in famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Ude Ishtamesh Betaga Chalaf. Somebody who uses the crown of Torah, will die. Rish Lakish, what's that? Zemi Hamishtamesh Misha Shoneh Halachot. This means somebody who uses somebody who teaches halacha, meaning use them to do your jobs for you, whatever. Kitrashel Torah, that is the Keter of Torah. So you see that Rish Lakish really held that somebody who repeats halachot and masters halachot really is the crown of Torah. It's better if you have to use somebody who has learned for rather than who teaches for. This is talking about the four siddarim that were traditionally studied of Mishnah, rather than somebody who teaches them. The story about Rish Lakish was walking on the way. Mata Urkama Demaya, he came to a river. Ato gavra arkame akafti. Some fellow came and picked him up. Kama abrele was carrying across the river. Amarle karita. So Rishalka said to the fellow, if you learn Tanakh, amarle karina, yes. Tanita, have you studied Mishnah? Tanena, arba sidra Mishnah. I've studied the four siddurim of Mishnah. Male palsat lach arba ture. So you have now sculpted four pillars for yourself. Ta'an par lakish ha-katvach, and you're carrying Rish Lakish on your shoulders? So Shani bar lakish ha-maya, throw me in the water. In other words, it's not appropriate for me to get benefit from you carrying me on your back. That's what he said. Amar le nechali dishma'inan lamar. So he said, I would really like to be your servant. In other words, I'm getting hanah out of being your servant. So if that's the case, Rish Lakish said, so learn this thing for me. The famous Chumash of Zera that we all practice, which is that Benot Yisrael, even if they see one little drop of blood, menstrual flow, they treat it like a Zava Gedola, as if they've had 3 days of Re'iyah, and they have Shiva Nekim. So he said, okay, I'll teach you one thing. And following that, we have the following statement. Somebody who repeats halacha and studies halacha is a ben olam haba. Shenemar, the pasuk in Yeshayahu says, halichot olam lo, and the parsing is a little bit different. Halichot olam lo, halichot el halachot. Halachot olam lo. Somebody who studies halacha, the world is his, the world being the world to come. So what we've seen, what the Gemara has accumulated here is a series of statements, some of them attributed to Rish Lakish, to demonstrate that somebody who repeats halachot is not like, in Rav Nachman's estimation, just a basket full of svarim, but somebody of real great value. Tana Rabbanan. Mevatlin Talmud Torah lo tzat tamet ulachasat kala. We suspend the study of Torah. That's something we dealt with at the very beginning of the Masachet. We suspend the study of Torah in order to properly bury somebody and in order to properly bring a kala in to celebrate at a wedding. Meaning, if there's a funeral going on, and there are not enough people to properly attend, as we'll see what the number is in a minute, then you stop your study and you go attend. We have quite a number of stories about Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Loi, that's the famous Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishnah, about his comportment. It says that he used to cancel Talmud Torah in order to go and participate in a funeral and in a wedding. Now, b'medvar memorim, when would he do that? That is, if there's not a large enough crowd to properly take care of either the burial or on the other side the simcha. But if there's enough people there, then indeed we're not mevatel. I remember, and this certainly was done in most places in yeshiva, that there were many people who were invited to weddings, and they would first find out how many people were going to be going. And if they realized that there was a large enough crowd to elate the bride and groom, unless they had a particularly close relationship with the chassan, they wouldn't go. So same thing here. Now, v'chama kol tzarko, how many is enough? So when it comes to a funeral, Rav Shmuel bar Inya Mishmei Derav, Treser Alfi Gavri V'shita Alfi Shipuri. So he says 12,000 men and 6,000 shofarot. They used to blow a shofar as a sign of avelut, right? And we have another version of that. The 12,000 men, among whom 6,000 have shofarot. If they cover all the way from Abula to Sichra, that far of a place, then you have enough people. It's evidently a very large amount. The way the Torah was given, the Torah is taken away, the soul is taken away. Matan Yatam Shishim Ribo, there were 600,000 men at Matan Torah. Afin Yatam Shishim Ribo, there is really no max then, because to assemble 600,000 people at a funeral is basically unheard of. So that means that you're always shy of the max and you should always go. But all of this is only for somebody who has learned Torah. But somebody who teaches Torah, late Leshur, there is no limit and everybody should go and Talmud Torah should be suspended for that. Good. And now we see a beautiful Agadah related to this. Tanya Rishim ben Yochai Omer. Bo'orei kama chavin Yisrael fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look how much God loves the Jewish people. Shebechol makom shegalu shechina imahen. Everywhere they were exiled, the Shechina went with them. This is the Gemara we saw in Rosh Hashanah also. Galu l'Mitzrayim, or we saw a similar theme. Galu l'Mitzrayim, Shechina imahen. They went down to Mitzrayim, the Shechina was with them. Shenemar, It says a play on words, Haniglon Nigleti Levet Avicha Biyotam Mitzrayim. In the Pshat, in the Pasuk in Shmuel, when the Ish Elohim shows up to Eli and says, I appointed you to be my Kohen and you violated that trust, it says, Haniglon Nigleti, did I not reveal myself? But the way that they're darshaning is, did I not exile myself? Galula Bavel, Shechinai Mehen, they went to Bavel. The Shechinah was with them. Shenamar Lema'anchem Shulachti Bavela. I was sent to Bavel, God says. When they will return, God will return with them. Shenamar V'shav Adonai Levechad Shvuchah, the famous Parsha of Tshuva in Dvarim Perek Lamed, says God will return with you. Not return you, but return with you. V'heshivu Onemar Elo V'shav. Lamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavim Ahen Mivein HaKaldiyot. God will return with them to Eretz Yisrael. Bavel Heichasu, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bavel? Amar Baye B'veich Nishta De Hutzal. It's found in the Beit Knesset of Hutzal. The famous Beit Knesset of Shaf V'Yativ, which is in Nardea. Don't think it's in both places. Sometimes it's here, sometimes it's there. The Shechina goes back and forth between these two places. So Abaye says, I should get a special reward, something very good thing that I do, which is that if I'm far away, even just a parsing away, I go into those Batei Knesset because of their great sanctity, right? In other words, I always make sure to go in there, even if I'm far away from there, I always make sure to detour myself around and get in there. Avuah Shmuel v'Levi Avu Yati v'Chinish v'Shafi Yati v'Nardea. So Shmuel's father and Levi were sitting together in the shul in Nardea. At the Shechina, they felt the Shechina come. Shmau kol rigsha, they heard some sort of a sound. Kamu v'Nafaku, they got up and left. That's the story of Sheshina Yatav Bekanishna the Shafiyatav and Adea to Shina Velo Nafak. So Shesha didn't leave. Machashad become a Vatulay, so the Malachim came and frightened him. Malafan of Roshalam, Aluv Sheno Aluv, meaning Chemim Emi. So Rav Shesha said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, said, you have somebody who is disgraced and somebody who's not disgraced. Who should go first? Right? So in other words, I am a blind man. Remember, Sheshu was blind and I'm a disgraced person. So why are the Malachim able to push me out of the way? They should leave. If they don't want me here, they should leave. Essentially, he stood his ground. Amar lehu shvaku. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, leave him alone. Elam mikdash me'at. Yechezkel says, I will be a small temple for them. Amar v'yitzchak elu batei knesset u'batei midrashot shebavel. This is a reference to the study houses and to the batei knesset in Bavel. Lazar mar zebeit rabbeinu shebavel. This is the house of our teacher, which is Rav, in Bavel. So not Batei Knesset, it's the house of Rav. That's the Mikdash Ma'at. Darash Rav said, "My Ketiv Adonai Ma'ona Ta'ita Lanu Pantilim Tzadi." It says, God, you were a place, you were a dwelling house for us. What does that mean? El Batei Knesset or Batei Midrashot. Amabai Reishami Garisna, Beveita Umatzlina Mevei Knishta. Abai said, I used to learn in the house and daven in the shul. Once I saw the pasuk that said, Adonai ahavti ma'on beitecha, I love your dwelling house, I would then study in the Beit Knesset, because it's a place of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tan Rav Elazar kapar omer, atidin batei knesset batei midrashot v'bavel shikavu b'eretz Yisrael. The shuls and the batei midrash of Bavel are going to miraculously transport themselves and transplant themselves in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, what's his proof text? What's the text? The text in Yirmiyahu. It's the famous midrash that all the mountains in the world came to Matan Torah. So Tavor and Carmel, these beautiful high mountains in the Galil, came down to Sinai. So what does it mean that they came? So they nonetheless got themselves established in Eretz Yisrael. But take an issue about them in Rosh Torah. How much more so, where there's a constant study of Torah, that they will eventually find their way to Eretz Yisrael. Dashbar Kapra, Ma'ayitiv Lama Toratzun Harim Gavnunim. Why are your Harim Gavnunim jumping? Stamad Kovi Amralem Lama Tirtzu Dinim Sinai. What's the drasha? Tiratzun Tirtzu Din. Why are you challenging our Sinai? This goes back to the Agada that the other mountains came and said, "I want the Torah to be given on me." You are all blemished relative to Sinai. Why? Because Sinai is low. Tivacha gavnunim, tivatam o giben odak. When it talks about the mumin of the coin, the first one is giben, with something in his eye. But the gavnunim, so what's the drasha? Rashi shma minahai mandi yahir bal mumu. So you see that someone who's haughty, like a tall mountain, is a bal mum. Just to briefly explain, there's this famous midrashic notion that all of these mountains came to and claimed they wanted to be the mountain on which the Torah was given, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you are all high and haughty, and Har Sinai, which is a low mountain, is chosen because of its humility. And so therefore the mountains are called Gavnunim. And now Gavnunim in this drasha is related to the word Gibein, which is a blemish. Good. The Mishnah said that you cannot make a shul into a kapandaria. My kapandaria, of a kapandaria kishma. It's what it means. Well, my kishma, what does it mean? Instead of going around, makifna adare baha, I'll go in the middle. Kapandaria is like an acrostic, like a notomikon of some word. Indeed, they point out that it's probably a Latin word, compendria, right, which means really a shortcut, right, sort of like a compendium. Good. Amar Rabbi Avalim, Hayash Vilmi Ikara Mutar. If originally this was a path that went through and they built a shul over it, then you can certainly use it and walk through. Let's say you went into the shul for a legitimate purpose, not to make it a shortcut. You can end up using it as a shortcut. In other words, if you went in one door to the mincha or to learn something, you can certainly go through and you don't have to go back out the same door you went and go around. If you go into Davin, you can use it as a shortcut. Shinemar, and what's the proof text? Well, this is the text that also tells us you can't make a kapandar. It's the text in Yechezkel. Shinemar, the one who comes in from the north gate goes out the south gate. In other words, that's the proper way to go in. You go into the shul, you Davin, then you leave from another exit. Good. The end of the Mishnah said, "Alubo asamim that noshme neagman nefesh." Matanya no toleishu ma'achila v'toleishu me'niach. We had a brayta that says that you do cut the grass, but you cut the grass and leave it there. You're not allowed to feed it to animals. So k'tanam e'manim toleishu ma'achil tanan. You're right. Our Mishnah was talking about feeding it. In other words, you do cut the grass, but you let it lie there, and then it gets all brown and really disgusting, and people really get upset, and will endeavor to try to fix the shul up. Good. Tanu rabbanan by betak farot. It's a small tangent about how to behave in a Beit Kvarot in a cemetery. You're not allowed to behave lightheadedly. You're not allowed to bring animals to graze there. You're not allowed to bring an irrigation ditch through there. You're not allowed to go in to collect grass. And if you do collect grass, you burn them on the spot. And this is Nekvod Metim. In other words, not that there's a kedusha to the Beit Kvarot, but rather out of respect for the dead. Hey, what's this Kvod Metim about? Ilema Sefer, let's talk about the end. What kind of Kvod Metim is that you're burning grass there? Ela Aresha, rather, Kvod Metim is explaining the first part, which is all of the limitations of what we're not to do in a Beit HaKvarot. So everyone should have a wonderful day. And Yitz Hashem, tomorrow we will begin the end of the Masachet, which is the list of the different Kriyot HaTorah. And tomorrow our focus will be exclusively on the Arba Parshiot, which we are, of course, in the middle of right now. Have a wonderful day.